It's time for the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Now, broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
When the world was a time of this and that, I was young, didn't know to hold it back. Now we're here in the world, something else. We can leave any day and call for help. We were guys, nobody was above me. The A on my chest like a Dolce. The A on my chest, put your fist up. The A on my chest like a chipmunk. Alvin, Theodore, breathe in, breathe out. Me and more, breathe in, breathe out. Never mind, it was time. Number nine, let my lies be line with a death wish. Right, didn't have no name on the guest list. Hold on, I'm destined.
Welcome back. It's hour two of the show. And as I said before we went to break, if you want to watch football in the comfort of TDECU Stadium, be caller, say caller 8. Caller 8 right now, 713-780-3776. Wins a pair of tickets to see the Cougs take on the Rice Owls, for the Bayou Bucket. We will be celebrating Houston with this hometown rivalry. It will be a night of thrilling plays, hard-hitting action, and unforgettable moments. So caller 8 to 713-780-3776 wins a pair of tickets to see the Cougs versus the Owls. Both teams had nice bounce-back performances. The Cougs are in Norman on Saturday, last Saturday. And in some cases, you might think, depending on how you feel about how the game script went, should have won that game. They had some chances. Their defense played really well, particularly late in that game. Jackson Arnold didn't do much. And that was a nice effort after the loss to UNLV at home. Rice won their game as well after losing the opener. So two teams who played really well in week two, we'll see each other. And we'll have Willie Fritz, not this show, but John Lance will have Willie Fritz on Friday to discuss the matchup. So if you want to see who will be taking the Bayou Bucket. And remember, last game was thrilling, right? Last year's game. Rice got out to a big lead. The Cougs fought back. Rice won that game in overtime. And in some cases, in some circles, some people believe that was not the beginning of the end for Dana Holgorsen, but losing to Rice in that fashion certainly might have been the last straw for a lot of Cougars. And if you don't win tickets with us, we'll be giving away tickets throughout the day. Gallant and George will be giving them away, so will the Killer Bees. Also, look out for those tickets tomorrow and Friday. But if that doesn't work out for you, you can always go to uhcougars.com/tickets or call 713-GO-COUGS to get those tickets. Come early, be loud, or red. Go check out the two local programs, or at least the two biggest local programs in the city. Should be a good one. Like I said, last year's game was really, really good. Some NFL news for you guys who love fantasy football. Don't depend on Christian McCaffrey. He is not expected to play this week, so I'm sure Jordan Mason's probably not available for most of you. But if he is, go pick him up. He's a guy that's going to get a lot of carries, and hopefully he can get past being left out to dry by his coach and his PR and the San Francisco media relations PR people when he answered a question truthfully, and it turns out he should have kept his mouth shut. So Jordan Mason is your guy going forward for the 49ers, for a little bit at least, as Christian McCaffrey will be sidelined. Christian McCaffrey had played, I believe he had missed only one game for the 49ers since they traded for him up until Monday night's game. He's had injury concerns in his career, but that was pretty much a Christian McCaffrey Carolina Panthers thing. He had been available and productive for the 49ers in his time there. Now we're talking about an injury where Kyle Shanahan says they have to be very careful with that calf and Achilles. So don't expect Christian McCaffrey to be back. At least he won't be rushed back. So if you got Jordan Mason, you should feel pretty good, unless the Jets defense is just absolutely awful. But the 49ers run the football on everyone for the most part. So Jordan Mason should probably have a pretty good next couple weeks until McCaffrey can come back. Other things out there, I mentioned earlier that if you are someone who uses my bookie, you can bet on the games, particularly Thursday night's game. Well, Raheem Mostert will not play in the Thursday game against the Bills. He's got a chest injury that's going to hold him out Devon Achan as a game time decision, but he was seen practicing today. So it's just a walkthrough because it's a short week, but he didn't have a red non-contact jersey on. He was out moving around from people who saw. They say he was moving around pretty well. So he will be available. Josh Allen's going to be available for the game despite hurting his hand. He was seen wearing a glove on his left hand, so it's not even his throwing hand. And the Bills will be without Teron Johnson, one of their DBs, probably their best DB at this point, a nickelback who they move around quite a bit. So some injury news in the NFL. But, of course, the biggest is that good old Christian McCaffrey going to be down for a little bit. Sean?
Is this enough heads up for people, or do they need more heads up?
About what?
Christian McCaffrey being hurt.
Oh, no one can get upset now, right?
Yeah.
Because
– I mean, he had the questionable by his name for the entire offseason.
Yeah, for the most part.
If you're doing your fantasy draft.
He never – it was never hit probable at any point. There was never a P next to his name at any point. You probably should have taken notice that this could be a problem, and don't react to the point where it makes Jordan Mason feel like he made a real mistake when he announced to the world that he knew on Friday, when all of you should have known that this could happen. And hey, you got enough time now. No need to be upset.
Yeah.
You're aware.
Put in a waiver claim.
Start Jordan Mason in your fantasy league if you can. Some Texans injury news. Jeff Okuda, one of their quote-unquote big offseason signings.
All right.
What?
He was an offseason signing.
I said quote-unquote big.
No one. I don't think anyone said D'Amico, that he was big.
D'Amico talked about it like his size, his speed, his attributes.
Physically, he's big for a corner.
Yeah, they sold it as, hey, we're going to play him and CJ, and then obviously
Kamari Lassiter took a spot.
CJ Henderson and
first day of practice.
CJ Henderson didn't even make the team. Kamari Lassiter, as soon as he got there, we thought nickel corner. Turns out he's your starting outside corner. Well, Jeff Okuda went on injured reserve.
Damn.
So we hardly knew ye, Jeff Okuda.
Literally.
Yeah. Don't even know if you put on a Texans uniform at any point. Did he even make like the promo photos? Like if we went to Jeff Okuda's Instagram or his Twitter, did he even take those photos so he can throw up there and go, year five, whatever the hell year he's in or whatever.
Year five loading.
Yeah, something like that. Did he even ever get that chance? He never took the field in practice, I don't believe. So he's on injured reserve. The Texans did eventually sign Desmond King. Initially, that was reported, and then there was some pushback from Desmond King. But he is now signed to the practice squad as the Texans try to find some depth at corner.
The first thing you need to type up in Jeff Okuda is Jeff Okuda fan page.
Does he have an Instagram?
I couldn't find it by typing in Jeff Okuda.
So?
There's Team Okuda. No.
Who is running a Jeff Okuda fan page?
Jeff.Okuda has 50 followers. Probably
doesn't
not
seem
now.
Like enough, yeah, to be his actual fan page. So yeah, there it is. The Texans didn't do much to address their secondary as far as established players. They did bring in Miles Bryant, but the two guys they did go after and say, these are the guys we want. Okuda and Henderson won't play a down for them this year. Kamari Lassiter, take it away. Him and Desmond King, and they also brought in Troy Pride, signed him to the practice squad as well. Now, Desmond King was on the roster last year, so you imagine he would be the guy who gets elevated pretty quickly. Shouldn't have any issues acclimating himself, but there are some issues there. Lack of depth, lack of... You might even say lack of talent, despite what Kamari Lassiter has done, at least what he's shown to them in practice. We saw some of the potential warts for a young player playing at that position in week one. He's going to have to get better there. But the Texans, I won't say they have a problem. That'll be determined by the entire year, or at least the next couple games. But they do have a question at that corner spot, which they did to themselves.
Back-to-back years, Desmond King has gotten cut and then picked up by the Texans.
There are some guys that are like that around the league where they're a good guy. The coaches like him. The GM may like him. And he's always someone they're trying to upgrade from. But when it comes down to it, if he's available, they'll bring him back in.
I would have
it happens all the time.
I would have – if I was Desmond King, I'd have a little bit of the Jimmy Butler. You picked Jeff Okuda over me? What?
And CJ Henderson over me?
Tobias Harris over me?
Yeah.
That's what I would be, or
some Thanos. You could not live with your own failure. And look what it brought you right back to me.
I'd be more upset. That's why the Jimmy Butler one.
Yeah, Thanos.
I'd be more like,
Thanos was more like, all right, dumbasses.
Yeah.
All right, you're here. We're here doing this again.
Like, he's still being signed to be, what, the fourth corner?
At this
backup slot corner?
Maybe. I don't know where he ranks against Miles Bryant or anything.
Yeah, so I don't know. I don't know if he's quite at Thanos level. I think he's I think he's Jimmy Butler.
Wait, Jimmy Butler's like an all-star. Is that what Desmond King is?
Thanos beat the Avengers. Well, I'm saying he's closer to...
That's true. If we're putting Thanos...
They're both athletes.
Thanos. if we're putting the spectrum of, are you a Thanos or are you Jimmy Butler? Well, Thanos is a fictional alien. And
he beat up Hulk in a fair one. Like, I don't know.
Yeah. He killed Loki. Yeah, you're right. We're gonna compare Desmond King to Jimmy Butler. In this comparison, he's more like Jimmy Butler than he is the giant purple alien. You're right. I got to give you credit for that.
Thank you.
You're welcome. But it's looking a little thin in that secondary for the Texans, but this is what they decided, that Henderson and Okuda were enough and Miles Bryant was enough. And now it clearly didn't work out, but you hope Kamari Lassiter continues to be a guy you can depend on, and you got to patch it. You just got to find a way to get through it. And I don't think there'll be another trade. This is kind of what they have now. And maybe it'll be enough, but I feel like one injury to that secondary, you got a real problem at corner. Not every team is going to have tremendous depth everywhere, but this seems like something that could have been avoided if you had the foresight that all those other teams had when they said, CJ Henderson, Jeff Okuda, not good. Now, Okuda hasn't been healthy. So maybe if he was, this would have turned out differently. But all his prior and previous stops said, you're bringing in a guy who wasn't good enough to play here. You see something in him? Cool. But we won't get to see that because he goes on IR. Now, Jeff Okuda isn't someone that would change a line or anything. But injuries sometimes do. When it comes to MyBookie, MyBookie loves to give you the opportunity to bet on the NFL. You also have the live betting option, so if something happens in game, maybe you're on the wrong side of, just use a live betting option to try to get that money back from the NFL to baseball to international soccer, MLS too. MyBookie will provide you with all those options to have a good time watching your favorite games. And if you want to add a little bit more to it, sign up for the MyBookie Plus program. It's their new loyalty program, which means the more you play, the more you win. It's simple. You just climb through those tiers of the loyalty rewards program to unlock even more epic promotions, exclusive giveaways, and bigger rewards. MyBookie is the lock of the century. And also, remember this. They have a couple different contests where they're giving away hundreds of thousands of prizes. It's their Super Survivor and Squares contest. Join in now for your shot at huge cash rewards. Just go to mybookie.ag. That's mybookie.ag. And bet on anything, anywhere, anytime with MyBookie.
The Del Olalea Show continues
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's your host, Del Olalea.
Okay, I sent Sean a funny clip that's floating around that we'll get to. Last night, I sent it to you. Texted you last night.
I remember that.
Yeah, we'll talk about that. And how infuriating it would be if your team sucked and you saw that going on in the background of a practice. But let's get to Pena. He wants to talk about Thursday Night Football. Dolphins, Bills. What's up, Pena?
Hey, what's up, Dale? Hey, I got a question for you. What do you have? What does it have the better chance of Tyreek Hill going up for over 74.5 yards or Josh Allen for throwing 194.5 yards? Thank you. Have a great day.
The better chance of those two really subpar games for both those superstars? Is that what he asked me about? Did I hear the numbers right?
I think it was 74 and a half.
Oh, 74 and a half. I thought I heard 34. Okay, 74 and a half for Tyreek. And what was the other number?
And one, I think it was 190 something.
Well, the NFL passing yard numbers have been down. We talked about that yesterday. Tyreek hasn't had great games against the Bills, I think. So,
short week after getting arrested.
Well, it didn't affect him in the short term, the game that he played immediately after. But the Bills have found ways to, I won't say make his life miserable, but he hasn't been the same type of dude against the Bills. They've done a pretty good job against him as a Dolphin. I guess when he was a Chief, he ruined them. But
famously, they could not beat those.
Yes, but as a Dolphin, I think they've done a better job. I would probably take. Now I got to look at his numbers from last year and see how many times he was held under 75 yards. Off the top.
Probably not a lot. Yeah, I mean, he had an 80-yard touchdown Sunday. I've done that twice now.
Off the dome, I would probably say go Josh Allen because he murders the Dolphins. He just has big games. But if you're looking at trends of how throwing the football has worked for NFL quarterbacks over the course of, I guess, the first 16 games, maybe trend Dolphins way. Take Josh Allen. For him to get over 170, whatever the number is. He kills the Dolphins. He owns them for the most part. Even when they win game, even the one game they won, it was only because the Bills were exhausted because they're playing in like 95 degree weather. Feels like 110 down in Miami in September.
Yeah. Oh, is this game? Oh, I guess it's at night.
It's at home in front of the Dolphins, but at night. So the sun won't be a problem. The Hard Rock sun won't be a problem.
All right. But the return match normally is in.
I don't know if it's in December or not. I haven't looked at the schedule to see when that game is played.
You're just taking things one game at a time.
Yeah.
For the Dolphins.
I got stuff to do, Sean. I can't be looking ahead at the schedules. I don't care what the NFL schedule released, so I don't remember what happened. So last year, for Pena's sake, against the Bills, 13 targets in the final game of the season. He went for 82 yards. In an early season matchup, he went for 58. So, Pena, I don't know what you should do, but that was the matchup last year in 2023. In 2022, Tyreek against the Bills, he went for 69 yards. Twice, he landed on 69 yards in a playoff game and a regular season game in Buffalo. In Miami, early, he went for 33. So you should probably, I knew they held him down, so you should probably go with Josh Allen. Take him and his that prop over because the Bills do a pretty good job against Tyreek.
Bills host the Dolphins on November 3rd.
So not terrible, but for tomorrow, Pena, go with the Bills. Go with Josh Allen and his number over, because there aren't any stats where look, the Dolphins held Josh Allen to 150 yards. They don't exist.
But now they finally got Vic Fangio out of there. I don't even know who their defensive coordinator is.
It was Brian Flores Flunky in 2022.
Nice.
Yeah. It is what it is. He's a dominant player, particularly against the AFC East and particularly against that Miami team. So I already gave you my answer, but you ain't got to trust me. What else? Did he ask about anything else?
No.
Okay, cool. I did want to get to this. Joe Mixon, as Sean alerted me to, did win Offensive Player of the Week for the AFC. 159 yards. Well deserving. Big-time performance by him. Big-time performance by that Texans running game as they beat the Colts 29-27. So to get to the clip I sent to Sean, it is a gif of a Florida State practice. And at the forefront of the image, it is DJ U taking a snap practice. Just no defense on the field. He's just practicing taking a shotgun snap. It's not even a center. There's some assistant, like some GA, throwing him a football. He's catching it. That's whatever. That happens. What's going on in the background is the hilarious part. There is a diminutive Florida State wide receiver in the background.
He's far away from the camera.
No, but it's Ja'Kai Douglas. He's small for a D1 receiver. Okay. I wasn't being tricked. It wasn't a camera trick. I just know the number. That guy, he's not a big player. Being chased by, I don't know if it was a GA or the wide receiver coach. I hope they don't demean the wide receiver coach by having him chase one of his receivers around with a water gun. And you can see not only the water gun in the picture, but also the him firing it at him. You see the water coming out of the water gun.
At it.
It is amazing. What is going on?
It is what I would describe as grab ass.
Yes.
Is going on.
Horseplay and grab ass is going on in the background. There's, I assume there's a reason for it. Maybe there's a football.
I don't know.
Maybe there's a football that's about to enter the screen. And he's supposed to catch a football despite being distracted. It's much like when people would laugh at a quarterback training on the beach and some guy's chasing him around with a broom. And he's got a...
The Jameis Winston.
Yeah, that stuff. It's kind of in that mold, but it's even worse because the team is 0-2. And you see... You just simply see a guy chasing a receiver around with a water sprinkler with no ball in the picture, except for the one that DJU is catching in the foreground. And I sent my caption to Sean with this. What if you were 0-2 and this was going on in Austin during a practice? How would you feel? How would you feel if this was going on? Remember, not a lot of people will remember because you're not going to be locked in on a Manny Diaz practice when he was at Miami. But the Miami wasn't very good. And I think it was either, it wasn't Diaz. It was Al Golden. Manny Diaz did some other silly stuff. Al Golden brought like an ice cream truck out to practice to give the guys ice cream after practice. And everyone was furious because they're like coming off a 6th and 7th year. You're giving them ice cream? This is what we're doing at practice. So that's just stupid, illogical crap because it's after practice anyway. But, people think, you're making the player soft. Why a water gun? What could you possibly be doing to help that kid get better at football?
Maybe it's trying to simulate the elements of playing in rain.
With one water gun?
I don't know. And also, I looked up the weather. It's raining today, tomorrow, Friday in Tallahassee. Partly cloudy on Saturday.
Now, the obvious
it's not raining on Saturday.
Now, the question would be, if you're trying to shoot Florida State any bail,
I'm not either. Way.
Did this happen in they call it fall practice? It's the summer practices before the season started, or is this midweek after your 0-2? Either way, it's not a great look. It just seems stupid. I imagine they thought of a reason why this would help that receiver. I can't find it. I'm actually going to give you, if you go to @Ben_Stana, Stana, if you are a Twitter user or an X user, you'll find it. Trust me. It is as dumb as we're making it sound when you look at it.
I'm looking for possible explanations or for, someone in the replies to, like you said, be like, actually, this is before we lost to Boston College and Georgia Tech. No, it's everyone, every FSU fan just being like, oh my God,
the only thing,
what a clown show.
Yeah, it has to be something where we're trying to distract you while ball is coming down. Maybe you're a punt returner or something, and we're using a water gun to distract you. Poor choice.
Yeah, that's the only Memphis money line locked in. That's the only, credible or, giving them some benefit of the doubt, which they shouldn't get because they're 0-2.
They're 0-2. They should get no benefit of the doubt.
I thought, honestly, when I saw this and the caption is from an FSU fan, it just says fire everyone.
Yeah.
And like you said, it's DJU taking a snap in the foreground. I thought it was going to be DJU throwing a pass or something.
No.
I thought it was going to be DJU involved. But yeah, because he's the best part of this.
Yeah, because they're still giving him first team reps, fire everyone. No. It's that, I think it was Ja'Kai Douglas, that receiver being chased by, it might be an assistant with the water hose. So that's out there at @Ben_Stana. You can find it.
I'm going to age myself here. Last time I suited up was in 1986. Every coach I ever had from 8th grade through college would have gone nuclear if a dude was on the field chasing players with a water gun. Just saying. That's from Stride Tech on Twitter.
When you're winning games, do whatever you want because the cult will say it's helping us win.
Yeah.
When you're not winning, anything you do is going to be looked at as stupid. But this is particularly stupid.
This is very stupid.
So shout out to Florida State for incorporating water guns in their prep for Memphis. After coming off a bye, look, we don't know the timing. That could have been in the summer. Still dumb. But if the timing is we are doing that as we get ready for the Memphis Tigers, good luck. Good luck to you, Knowles.
People can't have fun at practice. It's one of them.
Not when you're 0-2. That's always the answer. No, not when you're 0-2. Sean says, when can people have fun? Well, at the listener appreciation party. When we come back, we'll give away those tickets as well. It won't end with us. We'll be giving them away throughout the week, throughout the weekend next week, because the party is on the 20th. So if you want a chance to win those, keep listening to us. We'll get into a couple of other things before we wrap it up. Got a couple more segments to go on the show. We will be back.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
What's up, guys? Sean Mapes here. Looking for a fun way to win up to 100 times your money this football season? Put your skills to the test on Prize Picks, the most exciting way to play daily fantasy sports. Just choose two or more players and pick more or less on their projection on a wide variety of stats and place your entry. It's just as easy as that. If you have the skills, you can turn $10 into $1,000 with just a few taps. That's right, $1,000. Easy gameplay, lightning quick withdrawals, and a huge selection of players and stat options are what make Prize Picks the number one daily fantasy sports app. Download the Prize Picks app today and use code MAPES, that's MAPES, and get $50 instantly when you play $5. That's code MAPES on Prize Picks to get $50 instantly when you play $5. You don't even have to win to receive the $50 bonus, it's guaranteed. Prize Picks, run your game.
The Del Olalea Show continues
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's your host, Del Olalea.
So I mentioned it before we went to break, so we'll do it here. Made a promise, let's keep it. The Listener Appreciation Party is September 20th here in the building. You'll get to meet all of the luminaries from Gal Media, from John to Lance, Glant, George, Killer Bees, the producers. Some of them you may like, depending if you, you know, reside on Twitch. Some of them you may not. Just how it is. But we'll all be here. And we're going to have great food, drinks. So it is 21 plus because there will be alcohol flowing in the building. And callers 5 to 713-780-3776 wins a pair of tickets. You'll be able to show up here, have a good time, hang out with everyone. Caller 5-713-780-3776 gets a pair of tickets to the Listener Appreciation Party on Friday, September 20th. So the Astros go down last night, to the A's. The A's have played better baseball than you would think. They're still terrible, but they've been better over the last month plus. Not that we're paying attention. We've got bigger goals, so you still don't want to get beat by them. You're coming off a bad loss against the Diamondbacks where your future Hall of Famer gets booed and people are questioning pretty much the his ability to ever pitch in a playoff game again, at least for the Astros. So you're looking for a bounce back, and it didn't get started great early. Arrighetti gave up a couple runs early, including a bomb over the train tracks out in left field, but the team fought back. But one of the reasons they did not come through is something Espada latched onto. They chase with men in scoring position. He doesn't like his team's approach. And it's been something that's been kind of pushed aside because of the way they've taken over the AOS. But that was a problem early as well. This was a team who did not come through when they needed to. It led to the poor start, and it's still something that is an issue. And, of course, everything just gets magnified in the postseason. And if you're still in a division race, it'll be looked at even closer. We got less than a month to go, but their inability to come through has a lot to do with them not swinging at strikes. They're a team who gets aggressive in moments. You would hope for them to be a little bit more patient, and it cost them yesterday. I mean, the A's, even the runs they pushed across, they weren't exactly actually hitting the ball very hard. They just found a way late in that game to manufacture runs, and the Astros did not with the ghost runner. The Astros threw three innings. They eventually did push a run across in the bottom of the 12th, but 10-11 had chances to win that game and didn't. And so it falls on Hector Neris. He lost the game, but he is the pitcher of record from the game. So he takes the L there. The Astros go down, lose two in a row. It's fine, right? It's fine. what do we overreact? We're not going to overreact. We're just going to treat it as that's baseball. It's a long season, although it gets shorter by the day because it's actually very short now. But there's no panic. It's just you'd like your team, when they're playing the A's in a very winnable game, to win it.
It's so funny that if this game happened a month ago, we would have spent like 45 minutes talking about it during the show.
Yeah. Which but is now, sad, actually,
but now,
a little bit.
Now there's football season. It's football season. So it's like, oh, win some, lose some. Even though these games are the stretch run.
These games you would consider more important, but of course, one of those guys would say, actually, they all mean the same. Every game means the same.
Yeah.
One of those guys would do that right now.
I'm glad he's hosting the show.
I'm not one of those guys.
But you did just do
it. No, I'm just pointing out that one of those guys would do it. But then you did it. But I didn't go, it's all the same. These games are more important because there's a goal at the end of it. Mm-hmm. And you can see the goal. Like, it's right down the road.
And you already kind of wasted the first, 40 games of the season?
Messing around, tricking off.
Yeah, shout out to Rafael Snow.
Yeah, the Mariners did lose, so you don't lose any ground there. But
talk about tricking off.
Yeah, they've been doing that for like 3 months now.
There's a certain point where I think every night at 11:30, I just get alerted to the fact that the Mariners have lost, and I'm like, do these guys ever win?
That's the thought because of how big the lead was, but the Astros haven't pulled away. I mean, 4.5 feels very comfortable, but the Astros haven't pushed it to 8-9 or to double digits. So they are winning enough to stay within sight, but not enough to scare anybody.
No, that's the thing. The Astros give you they give these teams a chance, or they give the Mariners at least a chance. I don't know, three times a week, twice, maybe two times a week, losing a game that's either they just get blown out or that is an inexplicable loss like last night, where they just have these losses where I think normally we go, listen, if you're a serious team that's actually going to win the division, you don't lose games like this, except the Astros do lose those games and the Mariners are so sorry that they can't take advantage of that.
No. So they're not distantly in the rearview mirror, but they're enough back that,
I have zero confidence in the Mariners.
Yeah, we're not concerned. The issue is you had a chance. You still do, but it's getting late. You're now 5 games back of the Guardians. I almost said that word. The I word. They're 5 games back of the Guardians for a top 2 seed. They do have that final series against them, but you do need to be within striking distance for that. And right now, they are not. So they're going to have to make up some ground here to make that series important as far as avoiding the wild card round. But right now, they're firmly there. So they'll be playing early. And, of course, that starts to tax your pitching. They'll go tonight against the A's, and we certainly expect a bounce back. You can't have Bregman and Tucker combined to go 0 for 11. You're not going to be very successful when that happens. Hunter Brown's on the mound tonight against Joey Estes. And, of course, Hunter Brown's been really good. We'll see if he continues that, and we'll see if Bregman and Tucker are in the lineup. If they are, 3-4 can't be what they were, an offer. Can't have it. It's one of the reasons you lost. I need that to change tonight and going forward. I just don't know if those two can be depended on until they get – how many at-bats is it going to take for Kyle Tucker to be right again, to be someone – you're not worried about in the postseason, particularly considering his last postseason. And if Bregman's going to be dealing with the elbow throughout the rest of the year, can they be expected to be great? And you're going to need them to be. So that is a concern for me. Beyond the division stuff, which isn't clearly, if we talked about it, can those two be great? You're going to need them, and they're going to be dealing with either rust or an actual active injury until the season is over. Kyle Tucker will be, I guess he'll be rusty until he's not.
Yeah, that, I think that's one where we're definitely going to play the result on that, where it's going to be Kyle Tucker is rusty, should have done a rehab assignment, all that stuff, until he actually does have a game where he has two doubles and a home run or something, and then we're going to be, King Tuck, back on the throne.
You know what I've never done?
That's what we are going to start our show with, King Tuck.
You may call him King Tuck. I will never call him that. I don't like the nickname.
I also don't like it. I just...
Where did it come from?
I don't think I've met a single person who likes it.
Was it a Todd Callis or Jeff Blum joint? Who started the King Tut stuff?
I don't know.
Was it online? Because was Roydon a...
What?
Roydon.
Oh.
Was Roydon a Todd Callis creation?
I think it was a Todd Callis one when it was his rookie year.
Yeah, well, and people are like, hey, sounds too much like...
Yes, that's why I asked for a clarification.
Yeah, I didn't say Roydon. Roydon. You say it quickly enough and you start
yeah,
to...
Yeah, it does sound like it so much.
That's why... Hey, knock it off, Todd.
Roydon.
Cut it out.
Hey, that's what Yankees Forever 42069 tweets under the highlight.
Maybe
that's
it's
not,
Todd, maybe
that's
it's,
what Todd Callis says.
Unless it's its burner, which I don't believe that's the case.
I mean, he did go to Syracuse.
He's a New Yorker. Oh, someone in the media went to Syracuse?
Yeah.
Look at that.
And guess what? The only reason I know that he went to Syracuse.
Because another Syracuse guy told you?
Yeah.
The one who works here?
Yeah, you can guess. The one who's super excited about the Fran Brown era? Yeah.
Congratulations. 2-0. Beat Georgia Tech. Kyle McCord all of a sudden said, Ohio State? Will Howard? Whatever. Whatever. Should have stuck with me. Should have showed some faith. Look at me. Beating up on middling ACC teams. You don't want none.
Hey.
Do what you got to do.
Do what you got to do. That's the beauty of the transfer portal, you know?
You can be a goat.
Find your level.
You can be a goat one place and be
a goat in the other.
A breath of fresh air, for a Syracuse program with a new coach and quarterback problems.
He's like, wait, the standard for good quarterback play here is Tommy DeVito? I got that.
Please. Please.
All right.
I played at Ohio State.
I was a five-star, guys.
Yeah.
You know, you remember?
I was one deflected ball from maybe leading a comeback against Michigan. I can beat Georgia Tech.
The margin of how close he was to being
a hero.
A hero, winning more games against Michigan than CJ Stroud did, which was one. Mm-hmm. At least one, because he probably wouldn't have transferred if he'd won.
He would have won this year, yeah.
And then now it's like, nope, guy sucks.
Get out of here.
See in the ACC Atlantic.
We're going to take the Kansas State starting quarterback and think we'll do better.
Do it against Wake, all right?
Don't worry. I will.
Yeah, I will.
It's Wake.
And I'll talk a lot of trash while I'm doing it.
Yeah. Did he get, like, someone read his lips, and did he say these guys effing suck? I think some it was something along those lines about Georgia Tech. Or they blow or something like that. We're trusting someone to read lips, and I saw it. I didn't really deep dive into the lip reading for Kyle McCord, but it looked like he was not complimentary to the Georgia Tech defense.
I'm never a big fan of the rip.
Yeah, because you never know what they're saying. Yeah, you put something on a guy, and he may not have said anything close to that. But Kyle McCord was very demonstrative, and good for him. He has bounced back at least through two games with the Orange. We got one more segment here to go, but before we go, I don't even know how to lead into this because I'm not exactly sure how Prize Picks actually works. That's why I want to hear from Sean. Tell us how Prize Picks works.
Well, first of all, Dell, while I'm talking about it, you can go to Prize Picks, go to the app and download the Prize Pick app. You'll see that it's the number one in America daily fantasy sports app. So please get on that. I know you're having trouble with the Wi-Fi, but get on that if you can. And yeah, you have every day there's a chance to win. We're talking about the Astros. Maybe you think that Kyle Tucker's struggles continue. You can take some lesses on his hits or total bases. You can take a more on his hitter strikeouts if you think he's going to strike out once or twice in this game like he did last night. There's always an opportunity to make some money, put your knowledge to the test on Prize Picks. They're still doing the Caleb Williams 0.5 yards. Do you think that he can throw for 1 yard against the Houston Texans? I don't know, but I think he can get 1 yard. And if you add that to your lineup, it's basically a free square, and you can add more to your winnings by, again, having Caleb Williams throw for more than 1 yard. So download Prize Picks. Do like Dell is. Download Prize Picks today. Use code MAPES. Get $50 instantly when you play $5. Code MAPES. Get you $50 instantly when you play $5. You don't even need to win to get your money. Prize Picks. Run your game.
You're back inside the Veritex Community Bank Studios with Dell Olalea. I mean, you're not actually in the studio, but if you watch ESPN Houston's YouTube channel, it's kind of like you are. No, not really.
Sean's playing a song that you could probably classify as a song of the summer. And that gentleman, Kendrick Lamar, will be the performer at the halftime show of the Super Bowl. Is there any chance that he does not play this song because Drake's legal team says, you're not going to call me a pedo at the Super Bowl? Is Drake's arm strong enough to keep that from happening?
I don't know. I could see it going both ways, honestly. Because, like you said, it is the biggest song of 2024 so far.
Yeah.
And so in a normal world, if you're an artist performing at the Super Bowl and you had a giant hit last year, guess what's definitely getting played? The hit that you made last year. But you could always, if that happens, or if Kendrick Lamar can just wants to pivot to like, yeah, you know, gonna leave that in the past, because you know Kendrick Lamar seems like the type that leaves stuff in the past.
Yeah, clearly
when it comes to Drake. But if he is like, you know, we're moving forward, not backwards. Maybe that's just the spin. No matter what, is like, hey, I'm not gonna do the diss songs. All right, guys.
I don't see how, anyway, he doesn't at least do Euphoria. He's got to do some of it. Now, not like us. There might be someone who goes, well, you're not looking for that type of content at the Super Bowl. But Euphoria.
Can you at least not do, can you not do chant verse three?
Yeah.
At least?
Yeah. Maybe not chant that particular.
We don't want to hear you say, oh.
Not OV. Not that. The other one where he's dragging out a musical note.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know if they're looking for that.
Have the music drop out and all the corporate suites. That's the funniest part about the Super Bowl halftime show, is that it's all like the only people at the Super Bowl are, it's like corporate partners.
Yes. And then the lucky few who paid out of their backside. If you're like a, whoever, I guess let's assume the Chiefs, if you're a Chiefs fan who decided to pay whatever it's going to cost to watch your team play. But at some point, Chiefs fans got to be, oh, I've seen like three of these in the last decade. I gotta pay again. Hey, I'm just gonna watch this one from home, Patrick. Appreciate all your good and fine work, but I'm not making another trip. I paid enough. But it's good to win, even if it costs a lot. So we'll see what Kendrick Lamar decides to do. By that point, it'll be February, so maybe he'll have a new album out. And maybe there'll be songs from that. We'll see going forward. The response to that has been a lot of Drake kept Wayne from being a – not Drake, but Jay-Z kept Wayne from being a part of it because they have some back and forth from years ago. I think even Mason Cameron were like, let it go. Let the hate go. I don't know. Because Jay-Z has a part to play in those decisions. I don't know if he decided to keep the New Orleans rapper out of the New Orleans Super Bowl, because there's no guarantee that just because you're from the city, you get to perform in that city. Now, you select a hip-hop artist, you may think there's a connection there that somehow Wayne shows up there, but that's not always the case.
Yeah, actually.
He was the only one who had the Super Bowl in his, maybe not hometown, but his in his general area, and got to perform there. There's no guarantee.
Beyonce's done the Super Bowl twice.
And never in Houston.
And the Super Bowl has happened in Houston twice in her career.
And she's never done it. It's just not
New
the
Orleans
way it works.
Hosted like nine Super Bowls.
And they've never had anyone from Cash Money out there.
Not even Birdman.
No, well.
Not even Juvenile.
What do you mean not even, when Wayne's the bigger star? Nicki Minaj was on a rant about that. A lot of people are like, you got your own problem. Shut up. We've met your husband, or we know who he is at least. So that's out there, but we do have Kendrick Lamar.
She doesn't like Kendrick Lamar.
I don't think she dislikes Kendrick. She dislikes that Wayne didn't get the opportunity.
But she probably doesn't sing the one part and not like us.
She's not
going to around
get,
her.
She's
husband.
Not going to get. Well, she's not going to get caught publicly singing that song anywhere because of her connections with Drake. But there it is. We have our halftime entertainment. Now all we got to decide is who's going to be there. Texans, right?
Yeah.
Texans, Lions in the Super Bowl.
With Kendrick Lamar in the middle?
Yes, a sandwich of, we got a piece of bread, which is the Texans, and a piece of bread that's a lion, and the meat in the middle. Kendrick Lamar.
Pause.
And those, I know. It's too late. I already went down the path. Far too late at that point.
I saw it coming once you
I got too far down the path to turn around. And that's just how it goes. So I did get confirmation from Joe George. I talked about this, I think, in the first segment. Joe says he won't even make it till Sunday before all his Bears fandom comes out. He thinks even by Friday, you guys are going to hear it on the show. He won't even be able to make it to Sunday night.
I like that. You know what? That's good. We need on Friday, you know, it's a lot of previewing. We need the voice of the fan, but for the other fan base on the show. You need Paul in his, you know, battle red sunglasses, and then Joe, I don't know, wearing a Lance Briggs jersey.
Do you know how many Bears jerseys he owns?
I imagine one for every member of the 06 team that made the Super Bowl.
He's got a Peanut Tillman jersey.
He definitely has.
Waiting to break it out. He can't have a Rex Grossman jersey.
Danielle
though.
Manning?
No way he bought a Rex Grossman jersey.
No, I think he was an Orton guy, actually.
He feels like an Orton guy. I can see him.
I don't know what that means.
He likes quarterbacks from Purdue. That's all.
Good old-fashioned Midwestern football.
Yeah. Yeah, the spread that Purdue was running when Kyle Orton was there. Midwestern football.
You know, he's from the Midwest.
Yes, Joe, a Notre Dame fan, Chicago Bears fan. I don't think he's going to have a good Saturday to Sunday. That span of 8 days, I don't think it's going to be a good one for him.
For the rest of the season? I don't know.
Notre Dame should be fine. That was an embarrassing loss, but they should be fine.
I mean, when you lose to a MAC team, it's hard for me to say you're not going to lose again. But they should.
That's why I say should. The schedule plays out where
they'll have more wins than losses.
That's not a good season for them. It's not. Now you're saying way more.
Well, maybe not way. Maybe like three more.
That's not a good season for them.
8-4? Come on.
No. No. If they go 8-4,
bowl eligibility.
Pretty privileged or not, Marcus Freeman's out of there. They go 8-4. You can charm all the boosters you want. You go 8-4 with that schedule, beat it.
For the tight whatever Nike dry fits that you wear.
Or Under Armour dry fits.
Yeah. Oh yeah, sorry.
Whatever you're doing to make people love you, that's out the door. You get almost dominated, at least from the stats from what I can tell, against Northern Illinois. All the things they loved about you, they'll forget pretty quickly. We're done. Gallant and George are up next. Bears fan not Paul George. I always combine them sometimes. Joe George. Bears fan Joe George is coming up next. He'll be unbiased until Friday. We've done it, Sean. So what does that mean?
We did it!
I'll talk to you tomorrow.